Seeing then we have a great high priest, a great high priest. Our Lord called himself the great shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd. We have a high priest, but he's a great high priest. And where is he? He has passed into the heavens, understanding these things to be true. We have a great high priest. And he's passed into the heavens. Now let's look at Hebrews 9 for a moment. Where does he minister? He doesn't minister here in the holy places made with hands, in the tabernacle of old. It says in verse 24, for Christ, our high priest, is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures, pictures, patterns of the truth. Here's where he ministers. In heaven itself. Into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. In these next few verses, there are three appearances of Christ. In verse 27, or verse 26, it says in the last line, he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He appeared on this earth. He came down here into this world and put away our sins. And then in verse 28, it says he's going to appear again on this earth. Verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto a full, glorious salvation. And there I've just read you in verse 24, he appears now in the presence of God for us. He's our high priest. Seeing, understanding, we have such a great high priest that's passed into the heavens. Who is he? He's none other than the Son of God. Jesus, the Son of God. The Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. We have every reason to be encouraged. We have every reason to have assurance and be confident of salvation. We have a great high priest. There are religions on this earth today, and no use in calling names, but they have priests. They have what they call intercessors. And they have advocates. They have people that they come to and whom they say go to God for them. But I'd be kind of uneasy if I had that kind of priest, that kind of mediator, wouldn't you? But understanding we have. Now, in the Old Testament, let you know all the way through, you don't come to God without a priest and a blood offering. Nobody does. And we come to God and we have a priest. We have a great high priest. And he's not fiddling around down here in a building. He's passed into the heavens. And he's the Son of God. And he has his own blood as a sacrifice and atonement. Now that's encouraging now. That's something to rest in and trust in. That's someone to believe. For in verse 15, well, so what does he have to do with us then? All right, listen. And we don't have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He understands us. He knows our flesh because he wore it. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took on himself the form of a servant and the likeness of our flesh, was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. He knows what it what it's like to be tried and tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He knows what it's like to be hungry, to be weary, to work, to sweat, to hurt, to weep. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And not a road you walk, he hadn't walked, and not a pain you feel, he hadn't felt, not a loneliness or heartache you'll ever endure that he hasn't already endured. In all points, he was a man, tempted as we are, yet without sin. That's another wonderful consolation. Our high priest doesn't have any sin. No sin. And therefore, seeing, understanding that to be true, let us, I mean sons of Adam, let us, therefore, because that's true, let us come. Let us come in faith. Let us come in our hands, no price. In my hands, no price I bring. Simply the cross I cling. Let us therefore come in faith and come boldly. Come confidently. Come with liberty. Where? Unto the throne. Now come reverently. You know, this word, we kept reading this word fear, fear, fear. We read it a while ago in the psalm, in the study, and I read it in a psalm a minute ago, and we read it here. Fear. Well, the word fear, it has to do with respect. It has to do with obedience. It has to do with reverence. It has to do with an awe of spirit and heart. It's not that kind of fear, you know. I'm jump afraid somebody's going to slap me or something. That's not the kind of, not a slavish fear. It's not the fear of a slave that's afraid he's going to offend his master and get whipped for it. It's the fear of a son. Respect for father and mother, love for father and mother, awe and obedience. So let us come boldly to the throne. It's a throne. It's a throne. His throne, Brother Bill Clark preached a message one time, his throne is the throne of glory. And that's not the kind of throne a mercy beggar wants to come before. It's a throne of majesty. It's a throne of justice. It's a throne of impeccable holiness. And I tell you, you wouldn't be too much at home in that atmosphere, but you can come before a throne of grace. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in his sacrifice and in his righteousness and merit, has made for us, opened for us a way before the very throne of God. And listen, and we'll come boldly into that throne and obtain mercy. Not earn it, not buy it, but obtain it. Paul used that phrase so often, I obtained mercy. I was a persecutor. I was injurious, but I obtained mercy. I persecuted the church, but I obtained mercy. God was merciful. Just like old Bartimaeus. Lord, be merciful. Like the publican. Lord, be merciful. Like David in Psalm 51. According to thy loving kindness, Lord, be merciful. And he said that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. When is our time of need? All the time. All the time. I need grace for every moment of every day. Grace to pray, grace to preach, grace to sing, grace to love, grace to give, grace to forgive. Grace in all things. I need grace because I'm a needy sinner. The hymn writer said, grace first inscribed my name in God's eternal book. 'Twas grace that gave me to the Lamb who all my sorrows took. Grace taught my soul to pray. Grace makes my eyes overflow. 'Twas grace that kept me to this day, and grace will not let me go. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I've already come. His grace hath brought me safe thus far, and His grace will lead me home in time of need. All right, chapter 5 now. Far. Far. That's what seeing. All this is true. Far. He tells us something about this priest. It's an Old Testament priest, which was a type of our Lord. For every high priest, and they were, you see, Aaron was a high priest, and then the sons of Levi. Every high priest is taken from among men. Taken from among men. The high priest was a man. Turn to Exodus 28. He was taken from among men. The high priest wasn't an angel. The high priest was a man. Exodus 28. It says in verse 1, "And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons, ordinary men, with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister," this is God speaking, "unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and Eleazar, Ithamar, Aaron's son, and thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, for glory and for beauty." Every high priest was appointed by God, ordained by God, anointed with oil in the name of God. For what? All right, back to our text, Hebrews 5. Ordain him in things pertaining to God. Take a man whom God has designated. Now, they tried to usurp the priest's power on one occasion, and God dealt with them about it. He killed some fellas. But this priest is appointed by God, but he's a man. What's his purpose? Well, he's ordained in things pertaining to God. He presided over Israel. He represented all the people of Israel in things pertaining to God. He stood between them and God, this high priest did. He had on the priestly garments. He had the breastplate. He had the atonement. He had all these things. He came into the Holy of Holies and put the blood on the mercy seat. He stood between God and the people. And he appeared before God in their stead. And he presented their sacrifices and their offerings. You see that? Ordain him for men, from among men, for men, in things pertaining to God, that he may offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. Now, in these religions today, that's what they do. People come to the confessional, they confess to the priest, and he goes to God. You say, well, that's what it says. That's what it was in the Old Testament. That's what it was. These were pictures and types of Christ, you see. He fulfilled them. We don't use those fellas anymore. Aaron's gone, and all the sons of Aaron and Levi, that's pictures. That's pictures. And Christ is all this to the believer. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Here it is in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at here. Verse 5, 1 Timothy chapter 2. There's one God, and there's one mediator between God and men, and that's the man. It's a man, all right, but it's the man Christ Jesus. You see, this Old Testament priest, was taken from among men, selected, ordained of God in things pertaining to God. He stood between God and Israel. He represented the people to God. He took their gifts and sacrifices. Well, we've got a priest. There's one God and there's one mediator between God and men, and that's the man Christ Jesus. John said, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. That's Jesus Christ the righteous. All right, back to my text. And he's a common man, verse 2 and 3. Now watch this. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. This man who represented Israel, this priest, he was serious about what he was doing because he's a man. He felt their grief. He felt their sins. He felt their need. He represented them sincerely and compassionately because he was like them. He was from among them. He was one of them. You know, if someone were threatening to kill all us here tonight and you appointed me to represent you, I could present a pretty good case because I'm one of you. I'm under condemnation, too. Go kill me, too. And when I plead for you, I'm pleading for me. You see? And this priest here in the Old Testament, he could have compassion on the ignorant because he is ignorant. And on the sinful because he was sinful. And on those under the curse because he was under the curse. That's right. It says here, for he himself is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, also for himself offer sin. Boy, when that high priest went into the Holy of Holies, he wasn't just sent by a bunch of people. He was in there for himself, too. He wanted God to accept that offering. He wanted mercy for all of us. All right. What's that got to do with us? Our Lord was a man of flesh and blood. He was a man of sinful flesh. He took on himself the likeness of sinful flesh. He wasn't a sinner, but he bore our flesh. He understood and sympathized with the people. Sympathized. And when he brought a sin offering, he was numbered with us. That's right, numbered with us. Turn to Hebrews 7 a minute. Verse 24. Verse 24, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him. That's the way we come to God by him. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needed not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people. This he did once when he offered up himself. He had no sin. But he was a man, and he felt our infirmities. He felt our infirmities. Like I read back there in verse 15, chapter 4, touched with the feeling of our infirmities because he was one of us. All right, verse 5. Now, verse 4, no man takes this honor on himself. No man. The office of high priest and mediator is of the highest and holiest nature. The priest and his work is on behalf of the people to God and God to the people. And it's of the Lord in the selection of the person, in the time of approach, in the method of offering, and accepting or rejecting it. Now here's Israel out there, guilty before God. And God selects the mediator. And God selects the time when he'll come, the offering that he'll bring, whether or not it's accepted. And verse 5 says, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today
have I begotten thee.
God Almighty appointed him our priest. God appointed him the beloved Son. And the time of approach, in the fullness of time, God sent his Son, made of a woman, made in the likeness of our flesh, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. God picked him out. God sent him in his own time. And the sacrifice was his own blood. And I want you to look at Hebrews 10. Was it accepted? Was it accepted? All right. Hebrews 10, verse 9. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first priesthood and establishes the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every high priest, these Old Testament priests, stands daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But this man, listen, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sin forever, was it accepted? Sat down on the right hand of God. The Lord God said to him, Sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. All right, back to our text. Find out some more things about this priest of ours. Verse 6, And as he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You see, these Old Testament priests were types of Christ. And they did serve as a good picture of Christ. For example, they were taken from among men. He became a man. They were men of flesh. Christ became a man of flesh. They were chosen of God to be the priest. He was chosen of God to be the priest. They brought blood sacrifices. He brought a blood sacrifice. They offered up that blood before the Lord, always before the Lord, as an atonement. But there's many ways in which they're not good pictures of Christ. And here's some of the ways. Number one, now he's a priest after the order of Aaron in a sense, in many ways. But the Lord God had to pick a special priest to represent him. Because these were men only. He's the God-man. And there were many of them, many priests. He is one. And they ministered on earth. He ministers in heaven. And they died, and he lives forever. And they offered many sacrifices. He brought one. They brought blood from an animal. He brought his own blood. Their sacrifices could never put away anybody's sin. He, with one sacrifice, put away all the believers' sin. They never sat down. In that tabernacle, there was not a bench or a chair or a seat because the priest's work was never done. They never sat down before the Lord. They were offering sacrifices morning, noon, and night, next day, next year, all these sacrifices. One offering, he sat down at the right hand of God, having finished his work. And Isaac Watts wrote about that these words, Jesus Christ is my great high priest. He offered his blood and died. And my guilty conscience seeks no other sacrifice beside. His powerful blood did once atone, and now it pleads before his throne. He's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Who's Melchizedek? Oh, all right, let's look at Genesis. Genesis chapter... I think it's chapter 18. Genesis, I think it's chapter 18. You know,
Abraham was returning from the slaughter of the kings. Let's see. Genesis is it chapter 18, I believe it's chapter 18.
Let me find it. Genesis chapter 14.
Chapter 14.
And Abraham was returning from the slaughter of the kings. And it says here in Genesis 14, 17, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaphath, which is the king's dale, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him.
And he said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth.
Who is this man? He appeared one time, never, ever again. Well, Hebrews 7 tells us a little bit about this Melchizedek. Hebrews chapter 7, turn over there a moment, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, now as I said to you, the sons of Aaron were pictures of Christ, but not very good pictures. Types of Christ, but so many ways they're lacking. But this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation, he's the king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is the king of peace, without father, human father, without human mother, without pedigree, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. Here's who it is, but made like the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Who met Melchizedek?
Christ met him. Christ met him. That's who that is. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And one thing that convinces me it's Christ, back there in the Old Testament, before the cross, before our Lord died, every priest who blessed anybody brought the blood of a lamb. Always. The blood of the lamb.
A priest always brought blood. Without blood, in the law, all things are purged by blood. Without shedding of blood, there's no remission. But here's a priest without blood. What's he blessed? What's he giving? Bread and wine. It's the one who shed his own blood. He's the same one who sat with his disciples at the Lord's table and took bread and blessed it and broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. And took the wine and said, drink, this is the blood of the New Testament shed for your sins. Melchizedek. And what he's saying here in our text in Hebrews 5, our Lord is a man, but our Lord's the Son of God. And our Lord is a priest, things pertaining to God. But our Lord is an effectual priest. He's an eternal priest. He's not even of the line of Aaron. Did you know if Christ, listen to me, if Jesus of Nazareth had not been God, if he's not God, then he can't be a priest. Because he's not from the tribe of Levi. Nobody ever served in the priesthood that wasn't of the tribe of Levi. He's of the tribe of Judah. You see, Judah is the tribe through which the kings came. David is the tribe of Judah. Solomon, tribe of Judah. Levi is the tribe through which the priest came. But he's not an ordinary priest. He's a king priest. See that? That's what it says, and we'll cover that in days to come. But he's, and this is the thing, he's not, our priest is, he's a great high priest, he's a man, but he's the God-man.
Okay, and this, now we're going to talk about his flesh a little more, because we can't get away from that. Verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, these were the days in which he walked the earth clothed in human nature, he offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto the Father. What was this for us? For us. For us. Unto him that was able to save him from death. You have that incident in the garden.
When he cried, my Father, it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. He cried for strength. He cried for help. He cried for God to help him. Because he's a man. Now, he's a man. I wish I could emphasize that. I wish he's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And this shows the actual weight of our sins and the sorrow and the curse of this human nature that was upon our Lord, confined to the days of his flesh. That's what it says, who in the days of flesh. When he cried on that cross, I thirst. Was he really thirsty? Yes, sir. This is no stage play. He was thirsty. He cried unto the Father. He needed to be strengthened. He needed to be sustained. He needed to be comforted. He needed strength. He needed comfort. He needed to be delivered from death. He'd have died before he got to the cross.
And it says in this same verse, and he was heard. And he was heard. And the angels ministered to him. Now what we're seeing here in this scripture
is that, and a normal human being just can't enter into it or preach it except to some, just a small degree. But the high priest, our high priest, passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. But he became a man. And yet, he's a priest, but he's a king priest. And these fellows, Aaron and his sons, represented him, but not completely, because he's so different from them. So different. He has an eternal priesthood. And yet, in the days of his flesh, he cried to God, offered prayers, supplications with crying and tears unto God who was able to save him from death. And he was heard. In that he obeyed.
That's it. His piety.
He's an effectual priest. When he represents us, when I think about my high priest, when I think about him in the flesh and all through which he's going, he's doing it for us, and he's got to do it actually, got to do it obediently, he's got to do it perfectly, and he's got to do it for us unto God, and God's got to be satisfied, and God's got to accept him, and he can't fail. Can't fail. And this tells, verse 8 tells us that, though he were a son. But Brother Mahan, doesn't God cut him a little slack? He's his son. I'd cut him a little slack, but I'm not God. Doesn't God cut him a little slack? No, sir. No, sir. He spared not his own son. You see what I'm saying? He's got to do it. It's no stage play. It's no acting a part. Though he were a son,
Yet he learned, he experienced. He learned and experienced obedience for the things he suffered.
Though he were a son, if he's going to redeem this sinner, he can't be exempted. He cannot be exempted from suffering, from sorrow, from the deepest well, from the darkest valley, from the hardest pain. Though he were a son, he must experience that suffering and bow under it and do it perfectly. Though he were a son. In fact, on the cross,
God turned his back, left him with it. Isn't that right?
That's right. I'm just not that holy, you see. God is. And when people start talking about, well, you know, I don't think a fella just got to believe Christ and got to have the high priest. I believe God will make a way somehow to let a fella in, provided he wouldn't let Christ off. He wouldn't cut him any slack. He spared not his own son. He turned his back on him. My God! My God! Why have you forsaken me? You know who I am? You know exactly who you are. And that's the reason I've forsaken you. You're going to get this job done. Though he were a son, he must be lifted up. Though he were a son, he's got to die. Though he were a son, by the disobedience of one, we became sinners. By the obedience of Christ, we became righteous. I wish I could preach it. I just don't know how to do it. I just don't know how to do it. But there it all is. Who in the days of his flesh, he hungered. He could feed others by a miracle, but not himself. A man of sorrows, tempted in all points. He offered up strong crying and tears. Help me. Unto him that was able to help him. And he helped him because he always obeyed. And though he were a son, yet he experienced and effected this obedience of the things that he suffered. No shortcuts. And being, here's the good news. Thank God he succeeded. And being made perfect, doing it all perfectly, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. How do we obey him? He says, come to me. We come. He says, believe on me. We believe. He says, trust me. We trust him. He said, cast your cares upon me. I care for you. We cast them. That's right. That's right.
It says here in verse 9, he's called of God, a high priest. Called of God. If anybody presents themselves as a priest to you, ask them for their credentials. He's got the right credentials. God called him. And he's a high priest forever. Let me give you another one of these songs. King of Salem, bless my soul. Make this wounded sinner whole. King of righteousness, King of peace, every captive son release. Hail Melchizedek, divine, great high priest, thou art mine. All my soul before thee fall. Take my heart and take my all. Now, Wednesday night, we're going to start chapter 6, there with verse 11, because that's where it starts. This is the end of that particular thought there, and he picks up something else here that we'll look at, the Lord willing, on
Wednesday night. But don't you rejoice that we have such a high priest who has passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ the righteous. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. All right, number 127. Mike picked out a good song with which to close. Hallelujah, what a Savior.